This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin, with me Tan Chung Han and Brian Fernandez with the top business stories of the day. We have everything from gender equality on boards to the question of television.
Great, nice handover there. Yeah, Sharad, so
I'm recognizing, of course, that there are three men here talking about the question of gender equality.
But yes.
We do
have Melissa Idris and Joyce Goh on the Morning Run stable of presenters.
We have rendered them silent.
No, we did not.
Deliberately.
Joyce is out there busy preparing for the next segment, okay? So we are filling in for her. So we are reacting to a story from the Securities Commission giving us an update about the representation rate for women in corporate Malaysia, specifically on the board of directors. So 30%, that is the stated goal according to the SC's Malaysian Code of Corporate Governance, and this relates to the top 100 companies as defined by the SC. So as of last December, that number has reached 19.2% women representation on the boards. That's up from the 16.6% or so as of the end of 2016. So about two-thirds of the way there towards that 30% goal.
So it's not just naming, it's also shaming that's going on. Apparently, the Securities Commission lists seven companies who have yet to achieve the goal.
Yeah, so these seven companies still have all-male boards, and these include Affin Holdings, Alliance Bank, Batu Kawan, FNN, Genting Plantations, Genting Malaysia, and UOA Development. Now, some of these, however, are moving towards that 30% goal. For example, FNN will be nominating two women candidates to be appointed in their coming AGM.
Okay, so the question is, why just stop at the top 100 companies? What about the other segments of local businesses?
Yeah, look, so the government also wants to achieve that minimum of 30% women representation on the board for GLCs, GLICs, and also statutory bodies. Okay, hopefully the goal is to achieve that by 2020. The Prime Minister, I think last month, issued a warning that for public listed companies which still do not have any women on their boards this year, so as in if they've got all male boards still, they will be named and shamed. The Prime Minister even threatened those companies with not getting any government contracts if they still have those all-male boards.
Hasn't the question of quotas also been raised in Dewan Negara? I mean, that is the Senate?
Yes, it has, because last month the Prime Minister said that if BN gets a strong mandate in GE13, BN would consider implementing the 30% quota in the upper house.
GE14, you mean?
GE14. So Dato Sri Nansri Shukri, who's the Batang Sadong MP, said that currently there are 24 women lawmakers in the Dewan Rakyat, and the numbers are expected to increase next year.
But she's also one of the very few cabinet ministers who's a woman. And so you look at cabinet, it's an overwhelmingly male cabinet, isn't it?
Yeah. So you got the Selangor State Assembly Speaker, Hannah Yeo. She also shot back, right? This 30% quota, when it comes to lawmakers, that can be implemented now. Why wait for that mandate from GE14? So that extends to not just the lower house, but also cabinet ministers as well.
Okay, we have a message on WhatsApp from Ravi. He says, I've sat on boards whose non-executive directors are professionally, racially and gender diverse, but it means nothing unless the chairman and the major shareholders encourage discussion and allow time for discussion.
No, and that's a very, very important point, because when you have board diversity, it's also, he's spot on, if you don't have genuine discussion, defeats the point altogether. Now, I'm really firmly behind this government's push for the 30% representation, because it's been proven statistically that essentially boards which have broader representation in terms of gender, so women are less likely to be reckless in terms of risk-taking. They also then bring that different perspective, whether from as a customer because of their women, their gender and so forth, also because boards tend to be boys' clubs. A lot of times, even independent directors are known parties to the existing board members. So when you have women, you really have that diversity that perhaps is missing in a lot of boards. So that's very, very important.
Yeah. And going back to Ravi's point, of course, that's a valid point. Obviously, the chairman can act as a catalyst for those kind of robust discussions, but when that happens, though, when that opportunity presents itself, it is ideal that you have got as many differing viewpoints as possible, right? As evidenced by the diversity in gender, you know, race, even age, maybe, etc. Right?
So, and regional representation, at least for this country, because we're a broad country, you know, region, and we including Sabah and Sarawak.
So I think, you know, and going back to Ravi's point here, it's at least addressing part of the equation. It is a multifaceted equation. You know, we can also talk about, you know, whether this kind of affirmative action erodes at the idea of a meritocracy, right? So there are many moving parts here. At least there is some progress on this front.
Okay, there's another WhatsApp message. It says, why put quantity over quality?
Well, because you want, at this point of time, at least some numerical targets. In order, you see, it's been so hard for the government to push for this number itself. It's only because of this naming and shaming and constantly putting it under the agenda that we've actually seen the needle move in terms of women's representation. So that's a very important point. At this point of time, perhaps numerical targets. Later on, perhaps as we have more women sitting on boards, the quality then will improve because you've got to have the numbers. They need the experience.
That's not assuming that the current women
On boards of course, okay. A lot of the women's on boards are probably overqualified in a lot of ways.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay, look. Thanks for overcompensating that, Brian.
Like, way on the other side. Look, the idea here is this, okay? Because, I guess, natural forces are already lending itself to this inequality, so there has to be some kind of concerted push. Obviously, the regulators or these statutory bodies are intervening to right that balance. And hopefully, you know, like Brian pointed out, corporate Malaysia will find that new equilibrium and there'll be heightened participation by the women.
Okay, let's have an observation. Kids, we have another WhatsApp message from John. Maybe an example of some sort of male privilege pushback here. Just, what about better female representatives at 3D jobs? Everything should be merit-based. So 3D, because of the dirty, dangerous and demeaning jobs. And hey, you know, women do lots of that hard work too.
Yeah, absolutely.
In fact, you look at a lot of factory work, and the janitorial staff, poorly paid and such, are actually represented by women. So, John,
Yeah, and on top of that, you're also forgetting that many women in the Asian context, they're having to shoulder multiple burdens. It's not just their careers, it's also tending to the family and also, you know, having to play the role of a wife, right?
And then they get underpaid. They get paid like 70% of what men get paid.
Exactly. Look, I come from a family of 9 kids, okay? You know, I've seen my mom do those 3D jobs. Have you tried changing a baby's diaper? That's a lot of D right there, you know what I mean?
Ooh, yeah.
Look, so I think, you know, it's also recognizing that perhaps at the grassroots level, right, society also has to manage our expectations and, you know, for the expectations for the role that women play in Malaysia, not just in the corporate boardrooms, but also in the broader context.
But I think, you know, there is a legitimate concern about tokenism around quotas, and also about the legitimate role of government, especially in the private sector, should, if the arguments are so strong that diversity, whether it's gender and otherwise, leads to strong boards, then that would be, you think, the natural way to go for a lot of corporations, right?
You don't need to intervene,
but use fiat in order to achieve those targets. But anyway, I'm just putting the other side of the argument, often against quotas.
And also one of the things with our boards lack, really, if you look at all our top 100 companies, just the lack of non-Malaysians on boards, for example, because a lot of our companies are now doing business globally. That's another aspect that I think we need to look at also in terms of having more different nationalities on boards to give you, again, a broader broader views,
perspectives.
Then that, if you're going to take that discussion there, then where do you draw the line, right? Because if you're going to have global representation, gender representation, racial representation, age representation,
where do you draw the line?
Here the thing, we're in a globalized business environment right now. Our boards also need to reflect that.
Yes, but the question, if you have 10 members of the board and then that's the upper limit of the number of members you want on a board, then how far can you represent?
Right, then you got, you know, your board's mainly made up of people from China and India. Then Malaysia is like half a dude.
Well, okay.
Go ahead.
But yeah, this is a very exciting topic. If you have any views on this, you can always join the conversation. WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Remember, include your name. Also, you can tweet us. Now, time to look at television, something that a lot of people don't look at anymore. And the story is on MyTV. It's lowering its fees for free-to-air broadcasts even further.
Yeah, so according to sources from The Edge, the latest revision could slash annual fees for the single channel to as low as $5 million. Now, that's a third from MyTV's original proposal of $15 million per annum per channel for every standard definition channel. Now, it is learned that MyTV is looking at that 5% price point because it's not getting enough take up. So that's the reason they will announce the final figure later this month.
Yeah, and I think what's interesting is that The Edge noted that they were unable to contact MyTV CEO Michael Chan for comments. He was my former boss. He is my former boss at Bloomberg TV Malaysia. We tried to reach out to him also last week when there was a story about Green Packet supplying those set-top boxes to MyTV. No response there as well. So it's been pretty quiet here, which is
You sound slightly grieved.
Yeah. Yeah, it's discouraging, hey, we had those good times. No, I'm kidding. But no, in all seriousness, why do we care here? Because this program, this digital terrestrial television, involves public funds. And the deadline for the rollout is nigh. There's supposed to be that hard cutoff for the existing analog signals by June 2018.
Well, this is before, right? And was the rationale the same before? This is not the first time, is it?
Yeah, for the cutting off fees.
Yeah,
so it's the second time. So I guess we're seeing here MyTV responding to a market for or the lack of supply from existing broadcasters. Yeah.
And also one of the things that's happened is their rollout has been slow. And right now, their MyFreeView, for example, they've only signed on 9 channels. So also in terms of distribution, we talked about 4.2 million households were supposed to get these set-top boxes. Right now, according to sources at The Edge, only 600,000 have actually been distributed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 600,000. So I think about half of those 4.2 million set-top boxes will involve the use of public funds. Now, it's interesting to see while there may be some lackluster forces when it comes to traditional TV, there's also a story in The Edge Weekly about iFlix, right? Video on demand, possibly getting another round of investment, $50 million from a China-based video on demand service provider. Sharad, I'll let you do the honors of pronouncing this Chinese company's names because we all know that your Mandarin is better than mine. So go for it. Say that again.
Iqiyi.
Well done. Better than I could ever have dreamt
of myself.
Now, according to The Edge, basically investing in iFlix involves them subscribing for about $50 million in convertible notes in their Series C round.
Okay, we're coming up to news. We've just run out of time. We'll be back with the opening numbers in the stock market and more business news and analysis. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.